We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you.
Timing it perfect.
This is a Football Friday brought to you by Yingling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Yingling, spread your wings. Please drink responsibly.
Yang-a-lang.
Yang-a-lang.
Oh, Robbie's. By the way, when I went to the hockey game on Monday.
Okay.
Tuesday, met the beer guy. Remember the guy brought that big old beer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, wait, yeah, I remember the former Panthers player.
You saw Sean Thornton.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a badass.
And that beer, that beer that he had.
Guess who else I ran into?
Who'd you run into?
Who used to work here?
Katrina?
No.
Ramsey?
Ramsey, yeah.
Still talking about that crowd debauchery? speaking of the Panthers, we got a cool thing coming up. All right, next week we are going to be giving away tickets to come watch a Panthers game
with us. Yeah,
we've been waiting to do this. I want to take some outings with some of our listeners. So the Panthers have been kind enough to give us tickets to December 16th against the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa Senators. And if you guys want to go, be listening next week. We'll be giving away a bunch of tickets, bringing a bunch of our listeners out to a Panthers game a couple Mondays from now, December 16th. Bring them Crocs, Robbie. Be ready to be in the ice bowl with those Crocs, man.
Yeah, I got to be there anyway because I'm the goalie coach. You know, I'm already going to be there.
Well, I saw these quotes from Sergei Bobrovsky. I was reading in The Athletic, George Richards. He got a chance to sit down with him for a little bit. We didn't get a chance to sit down with Bob this week. I just want to let everybody know. That was coincidental because what happened was Quinville canceled practice on Wednesday because they got their asses kicked by the Wild. And I was supposed to talk to Bob on Wednesday.
By the hockey team or the actual Wild?
But so that ended up – we ended up – but we're going to do it in a couple weeks. It just ended up getting postponed because then yesterday they did an awesome thing where the Panthers were they were going to visit kids at Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital and Uplifting Spirits. So – they're doing an awesome thing, and taping an interview on Friday doesn't make much sense because he's taking on Columbus on Saturday, his former team. So I didn't see the purpose in doing that. So we'll be sitting down with Bob again. Has nothing to do with the benching. It was just weird scheduling. But but George Richards, who's the premier Panthers reporter, he got a chance to talk to Bob and was asked about the decision to bench, by Quinville to bench him, and he goes, first of all, this is a coach's decision, and it is not in dispute. I am the player, and the coaches are responsible for the team in place, and I respect that. From my standpoint, I am just trying to take advantage of this time. It is the time for me to take a step back, work behind the scenes a little bit to do my thing. I want to use this time to reset, refocus, do my technical things, and he does technical things, the little things, and get ready for the next game. I'm pretty sure that I will get my chance to play again soon, and I'm trying to be ready for it. It is a long season. He goes, there's ups and downs. It's all about how you handle them. So I don't think this is personal. I've been in this spot before, and I don't think there is an athlete who has always been up for the entirety of their career. I am still confident in my ability to stop the puck. I am still the same goalie. I'm just taking some time off. I'm going to reset, refocus, and get back out there. And Richards writes that it would be very shocking if he is not back between the pipes on Saturday against his former club, club in the Columbus Blue Jackets, Leroy. Revenge game for Bob. And the Panthers are playing terrible right now. Terrible.
You think?
Yeah, they've lost 4 out of 5 in regulation. You know, for the longest time, the Panthers, they wouldn't lose in regulation. They hadn't lost back-to-back games in regulation basically all season. And now they're in a major funk, not picking up any points, and clinging to their playoff spot. So it is it's high time the Panthers get right because they got a lot of games at home.
And we'll be there on Monday.
Two Mondays, Robbie. Two Mondays.
Well, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking a week and a half. I think Monday's around. And I know it's not right around the corner Monday, but next Monday is like, to me, next Monday is not this Monday coming up. It's the Monday after.
Yeah. Also, Quinville was letting, he told George Richards that Bobrovsky had his best practices after the benching and that that he doesn't think that he was happy, but he handled it well because he is a good teammate. Bob also said that he was very happy for Chris Drieger and didn't refer to him as other goalie. So, progress.
Progress.
Let's get to headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Your Miami Heat back in action tonight at home, the American Airlines Arena, 8 o'clock tip-off against the Washington Wizards tonight. That means 7 o'clock ISO tie. We'll get the pregame started on the JetBlue Vacations pregame right here on the ticket. The Heat loosely 10.5-point favorites, according to Oddshark. No real line has been posted as of yet. I have to maybe hit the refresh button. Maybe we'll get one.
Hey, what's up with this lately? Let's get the...
There's always the Heat. We're with the injuries. But we know Goran's not playing.
We know Goran's not playing. Maybe Justice isn't playing. But I can't imagine Justice Winslow is swinging the line that much. You know, because I'm not saying Justice isn't a good player. It just doesn't feel like something that they would hold the line out for.
Well, if Goran was playing, then, you know, they would probably have a line out there. Even without Justice Winslow, they'd have a line out there just in case. Now, no Goran, and if there is possibly no Justice to both of them, that's two prominent players off the Heat bench. That's maybe why there's pause on the line.
All right. So that's that right now for all you degenerates out there. And by the way, they got the Magnificent Seven coming up in just a short amount of time to win you some money. What else you got, Robbie?
And congratulations to the Spolstras for having their...
Very good. Congratulations. Another healthy baby boy for the Spolstras. So, That's great to see.
8 pounds, 20 inches for a Spolstra kid. Dante Nicholas Spolstra. Congratulations.
New wing player.
Dante.
Yeah. What else you got, Robbie?
And I know. Remember a couple hours ago in the 6 o'clock, I talked about this whole Peloton outrage?
Yes.
So apparently, Jane Slater, who covers, I think she works for the NFL Network. She's a reporter.
Yeah, you hear the story? Leroy, this is incredible. let him know, Robbie.
So Jane Slater, she works for the NFL Network. She does a lot of Cowboy stories a lot. She's always covering the Cowboys.
Right.
She apparently revealed on Twitter that she caught her boyfriend at the time cheating because of Fitbit.
Yep.
So here's a tweet. An ex-boyfriend once got me a Fitbit for Christmas, like something you wear on your wrist and like count your steps and measures your heart rate and stuff. I loved it. We synced up. We motivated each other. Didn't hate it until he was unaccounted for at 4 a.m. and his physical activity levels were spiking on the app. Wish this story wasn't real.
Yep. How about that? They synced up to do some cool fitness challenge between them both. And then all of a sudden, old boyfriend's Fitbit is going berserk at 4 in the morning, clearly not with her. And she catches him cheating based on the Fitbit.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
Hey, fellas, turn that thing off.
He probably never even thought about it.
Dummy.
Who thinks that she's going to be like, man, really burn those calories at the early time.
Get up for an early run.
Jeez. That's crazy. That's a funny story, though, that's true. That. What else you got, Robbie?
And this is, of course, in response to all this Peloton outrage. That's what she was replying
right,
to.
Right. Yeah, because Chris, I know a lot of people got mad at NFL Network. Or I think
Albert Breer?
Yeah, Albert Breer, because he was like, got my wife a Peloton three years ago. She wasn't offended. So everybody got mad at him. So she was just commenting on that story. I'm not saying fitness is a bad present. It's just, it wouldn't you know, go above jewelry. I would go, you know, jewelry, vacation, something like that. I don't know. That's just my wife.
Some might prefer a taped banana.
I mean, yeah, you might make yourself $100,000. We've been doing it all wrong here, Leroy. Instead of fighting tooth and nail to get a paycheck here, we should have just been taping fruit to the wall, calling it art. Unbelievable.
We just have cough button.
I think cough button's going to be a big piece at Art Basel. I got to tell you, Robbie. I got to just see who do I have to go see down there to get me one of those display cases. You guys just let me know. Basilites. What do they call the people who go to the Basel? Basilians?
Ooh, I like that. Basilians.
What do they call them? Basilites? What are they known as?
ABs. Well, that could have a different meaning.
Dumb.
Whoa.
What else you got, Robbie?
Leroy, this is right up your alley. Woj is saying that the Portland Trailblazers, they are now fully guaranteeing Carmelo Anthony's contract for the rest of the season.
That's the right thing to do. If you win player of the week, I feel like you're deserving of a fully guaranteed contract, even if it was a Fugazi best player of the week, whatever, that everybody was outraged by. I can't believe you didn't give it to James Harden. Like, he cares. He has zero bleeps. He doesn't care about it. Luka Doncic, same thing. Luka Doncic, who's won the European Championship with Goran Dragic, they won it when he was a child. You think he cares about Player of the Week? Get out of here. Oh man. Anything else, Robbie?
Yes, there's a football game tonight. Big football game tonight. Utah at Oregon. Well, it's actually in Santa Clara. It's in San Francisco 49ers Stadium. The Pac-12 Championship game, 8 o'clock tonight on ABC for the Pac-12. We get to check out the Hallandale trio of Utah against Justin Herbert and Oregon. Now, interesting story about this game. So Kirk Herbstreit is on the call for this game. The whole A-team is on the call for this Friday night game. So they have College Game Day tomorrow morning in Atlanta, and he's in San Francisco, and right after the game, he's going to basically get to Atlanta, then have to do Game Day. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, well, that's why he's the only guy in the company who gets a private jet. Because who was it? I think it was Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer
got super offended because he wanted a private jet just like Herbstreit, because he thought he was just as big a deal as Herbstreit. And they're like, hey, guy, he has that private jet because he does like 9 jobs in 48 hours. That's why we provided for him.
He does Game Day and then does a night game. So he goes right from there to
the game.
You're right.
And in this instance, he's not calling a game Saturday night. He's only calling the game tonight and then flying to Game Day for Game Day tomorrow. And then that's it. He doesn't have any other game to call.
And where's the difference? The game is in...
The game he's in tonight is in San Francisco, and College Game Day is in Atlanta for the SEC Championship game.
I'm going to be tired.
I mean, yeah, the game tonight's going to end like at 11:30 local Eastern time, and he has to fly cross-country to Atlanta. And then Game Day's going to start in like 2 hours.
David Pollack, get your legs loose. You know, carry the load a little bit. Haven't you been doing it enough?
You think with modern technology, with FaceTime, and you know, even on PTI, sometimes they're not in the studio, but they're on the screen.
I don't remember the last time I've seen Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman in the same studio. Yeah. They're always doing it at different locations. They can't just nudge Kirk Herbstreit. Poor Desmond Howard, he's got to be like nudging him awake. Hey, Kirk, wake up.
Yeah, Corso on the set too. He's old. You know, he's going to be half asleep half the time anyways.
Before we get to the Magnificent Seven, I wanted to play this for you, Leroy. So it was announced on Thanksgiving that Conor McGregor is going to come back and fight Donald Cerrone.
Yep.
But we know that Jorge Masvidal has been angling for that fight for a while. Even before the Nate Diaz fight, he went on Le Batard show saying that he wanted the Conor McGregor fight. And Dana White's immediate reaction was, nah, 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 nah. Jorge Masvidal, way too big for Conor. But it could have been that Dana White was out there with the fly fishing, and he was just throwing it out there to get Conor McGregor a little angry. Because he was on 106.7 The Fan, a radio.com station, in Washington, D.C. I think this was with Chad Dukes versus the world. And because they have the card in Washington, D.C. this week.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw it out there that Conor McGregor wants him some Jorge Masvidal.
Yes, Conor's going to fight at 170 for this fight, mainly because he doesn't want to have to cut the weight to 55. Him and Cerrone have both fought at 170, and he's hoping that he beats Cerrone and can turn right around and fight Habib as quick as possible. So he didn't want to make the cut twice.
Do we think that Nick Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal makes sense moving forward?
Well, I know they had talked about it, and I just don't know if Nick Diaz will ever fight again. I don't know.
It seems like that's a fight that Jorge wants as well, and he's got to be one of the most dangerous guys on the planet. If you could put that together and then turn around and he faces the winner of Conor and Cerrone, that would seem to make a lot of sense.
100%. Listen, Conor told me that he wants to he definitely wants a fight with Masvidal, so we'll see what happens.
Woo! Sign me up, Leroy!
You know, they gotta ask him about that this weekend when he's calling the Tito Ortiz fight.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, listen, he knows. You know what his answer is? Yes. 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 And by the way, he's going to smoke him.
Ooh.
He's going to smoke him. Smoke him.
Sounds like it'll be in time for another Sans Pants parlay that weekend.
Might be. But now it's time for our own parlay. Magnificent Seven time, baby. Magnificent Seven time. Robbie the Degenerate. This is where he gives you his winners of the weekend. We got that for you next. Ah, it is time for the Magnificent Seven. Robbie gives you his best seven plays of the weekend. Is this true, Robbie? Because the text is writing in. I can't wait for the abysmal 7. 6-15 over the last 3 weeks.
Not entirely true. I did pick up a long-term bet from Michigan under 9.5 wins, which hit. And that paid out at plus 180. So not entirely true. But yeah, it's been a rough go the past couple weeks.
You took Michigan?
Under 9.5 wins.
It's time to thaw the frost. All right? It's been a little chilly this weekend. You warm us on up, Robbie. We get around the bonfire now, the degenerate bonfire. And we're good to go, all right? It's no worries. So you got this figured out, my friend.
Look, shoot or shoot. Just ask Kendrick Nunn.
All right, Robbie, let's get to it. Number one.
All right, this game's up in your neck of the woods, Tobin. Got the Conference USA title, UAB at FAU in Boca. FAU, 8-point favorites at home in the conference championship game. Lane Train, it's on a roll. I don't know if you guys have noticed. They've covered 4 of their last 5, 7 of their last 10. They've won 9 of their last 10 games, and all 9 of those wins were by double digits. And in fact, UAB on the flip side, they have not covered 3 of their last 5, and they've had last couple games have been a couple close wins against pretty bad teams. UAB also has a loss to Southern Miss, 37-2. The last time FAU was in the Conference USA Championship game, they whooped up on North Texas 41-17. That was only a 10.5-point spread. So, you know, Lane, there's rumors out there that there's Arkansas rumors swirling, and he wants that raise from FAU. He's going to put it up on UAB.
FAU, FAU go in and pay Lane Kiffin more than an SEC school can? That's tough. I mean, how much can they pay him in MILFs? Number two, Robbie.
All right, Baylor, Oklahoma, noon on Saturday. Big 12 championship game in Jerry World. It's a neutral field. Oklahoma is a 9-point favorite. This is a rematch from a couple weeks ago as well. Oklahoma, they've been shaky this year against the spread. They haven't covered 4 of their last 5, 6 of their last 8. Oklahoma and Oklahoma has been a double-digit favorite the last 4 games. 3 of those games were decided by 4 points or less. So what was thought to be an easy cruising victory was a stressful affair.
Yes.
Baylor, they are seeking revenge because last time they played Oklahoma, they had a humongous lead at home, and Oklahoma came back and beat them and shook up the whole playoff standings. And Baylor, on the flip side, they've covered 4 in a row and 7 of the last 9. Not saying Baylor wins, but 9 points against Oklahoma. Jalen Hurts has been not been that good lately. 9 points is a lot of points to give. Take Baylor, neutral field, take the 9 points.
Very well, very well. Number 3, Robbie.
All right, another conference championship game. Actually, they're all conference championship games. What are we saying here?
Championship weekend.
Yes, right. Woo! Cincinnati at Memphis for the American Championship game. They're playing the game at Memphis. Memphis is a 9-point favorite at home. Now, if you guys don't remember, these two played last week in the same place. Memphis won by 10 points. Now, the next week, the rematches the following week are always tricky. It's not just copy and paste the game from the week before. It's not that simple. In fact, we'll refer you back to last year.
Okay.
Last year, you had the Conference USA Championship game between UAB and Middle Tennessee. It was at Middle Tennessee, and the week prior, they played those two teams played each other at the same place. Middle Tennessee whooped up on UAB. And then the next week, they played in the Conference Championship game at the same place. And Middle Tennessee was only like a 2-point favorite after pulling them out. Wait a minute. This is wrong. Something's messed up. Sure enough, UAB won the game in the rematch.
Yes. Because
they got their quarterback back. Similar situation with Cincinnati. Cincinnati was playing with their backup quarterback for the past few weeks. Their starting quarterback is now back for Cincinnati.
Plot twist.
And also in this conference, the championship game rematch is also weird because, yeah, I saw it a couple years ago, UCF. They played Memphis in a double overtime thriller in the Conference USA Championship game. But earlier in the season, UCF whooped up on Memphis like 40-0, and then they had a squeaker in a rematch of the championship game. Rematches are tricky. Take Cincinnati. Take the 9 points.
Okay. Number 4, Robbie.
Georgia LSU SEC Championship game in Atlanta. LSU, 7-point favorite on a neutral field. There might be a tad more Georgia fans, but let's be real. The Bayou Bengals, they're going to travel out there, too. It's not like they're going to have no fans there. Jake Fromm, quarterback for Georgia. Each of the last 4 games, sub-50% passing, including a game against Georgia Tech, where he was only 14-29. Now, here's a comparison for both teams. The last 2 games, Texas A&M. They have traveled to both of these teams. They played at Georgia, and then they played at LSU back-to-back weeks. In the game against Georgia, Georgia won a very stressful defensive struggle fest, 19-13. They did not cover against Texas A&M. A&M played at LSU the following week.
Okay.
You know what the score was? 50-7. LSU put it on Texas A&M.
Tiger.
Also, Lawrence Cager, our former friend.
Of course.
Georgia's best receiver.
Yep.
He's not playing. He's out with an injury.
Again?
Yeah, he's been out the past couple of games. That was always the thing. Injuries and drops. That was always his thing down here.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't drops when he was healthy this year. He's been playing good.
And Joe Burrow, he's carved up all the defenses. Joe Burrow put up 350 yards last week against A&M. 7 is lightweight. LSU should blow him out with ease.
All right, number 5, Robbie.
Ohio State, Wisconsin, Big Ten championship game in Indiana. This is also a rematch from earlier in the season. Now, if you guys haven't known this, Ohio State owns Wisconsin. They've won 8 in a row against Wisconsin, 7-0s being in the cover variety. And they've also won 11 of the last 12, with 9 of those being in the cover variety. 2014, remember that Big Ten championship game? Cardale Jones came in third straight quarter, but Wisconsin's going to win. Ohio State won 59-0 in that game. And that's what got them into the playoff and then ended up winning a national championship game down the road. In the first matchup this season, Ohio State won by 31 at home. And Chase Young had 4 sacks against Wisconsin. Now, I said earlier that rematches
against beefy boys of Wisconsin?
He whooped them up. Now, they're not as good on tackle this year. They have an all-world center, Tyler Biadasz.
Yeah, of course.
But they're not as good on the tackles as they are at center.
Yeah, they clone beefy centers and guards like Belichick clones his son.
That's unbelievable. I'm still shook by that.
We'll bring that again for you guys. It really was breathtaking.
So we told you that rematches are tricky. Sometimes the team is more prepared the second time around. But the first matchup, they won by 31. You're only giving 16.5 points. Ohio State should still cover. They're not going to beat them by 31, but they should still win by 3 touchdowns pretty easily on a neutral field. Take Ohio State, lay the 16.5.
Okay, number 6, Robbie.
How about a little NFL action?
Let's do it, man.
Hey, now.
I was buying from doing NFL games because we had it in the Doombox, but our Doombox is currently on hold for the moment.
It's on hiatus.
It's on hiatus, like Curb Your Enthusiasm, except Curb is coming back in a couple months. But you got the LA Chargers. They're at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ugh. The Chargers are 3-point road favorites in Jacksonville, but Minshew's back.
That's true.
Minshew is back, and the Chargers, they lose all the close games. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
And for the last 10 years, they've been down 4 with 2 minutes left in the ball.
Their logo should just be a 1-score game. it should just be a scoreboard on the side of their helmet. Losing by 3.
40 seconds left, no timeouts in your own
10.
No,
it has to be 4 because they always need a touchdown.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
And they had a crazy way. They committed a pass interference like 3 seconds left, and then Denver kicked a game-winning field goal on them last week. And check this out. The Chargers, they've been road favorites already 4 times this season.
They haven't covered once.
They did against the Dolphins. But the other 3 times, not only did they not cover, they lost outright.
Jeez.
And that was to Oakland, Denver, and Detroit. Those are the 3 teams they lost to on the road when they were road favorites.
Okay.
And the only time they did win as a road favorite was against the Dolphins. And that was in the first 4 games where the Dolphins were at their worst position.
Yeah, we call those the Dark Ages. They'll never be like the first 4 weeks of this Dolphins season. They'll write about it in books.
How bad did they think the Dolphins? I mean, that first game, everybody was like, "Woof."
Yeah, yeah. It was crazy. But go ahead, Robbie.
But yeah, you know what we say about home dog, 3 points or less. We saw this last night with Chicago. Take the home team. Chargers traveling cross country, although it is a 4:05 kickoff. It's not a 1 o'clock kickoff, but still a tough road test for the Chargers. Take Jacksonville. I think they can win this game outright. Take the 3 points.
I mean, all right, but I mean, it's 2 home teams that really don't have a home. One of them, they want to move to London. The other one is just too crowded in L.A. They play in a soccer stadium.
And even they want to move to London, too. There was a report about that, too.
It's going to be all these teams in London.
Football. You can form a London division. Just get 2 more teams. You can have a London division.
All right, and number 7, Robbie.
All right. I know it's been rough the past couple weeks, but one thing that's been hitting is these parlays. And let's start it. Let's start up with, Mountain West Conference Championship game. Boise State against Hawaii.
Oh, God.
Boise State's a 13.5-point favorite. You might have some trepidation about betting the spread in this game. I do, too. So we're going to just take Boise State on the money line at minus 550. They're in the blue turf. They should be fine. Hawaii coming into the mainland. Boise State's going to win.
The mainland.
Somebody said I missed 500 mile rule. That dog has not hunted all year.
No, but it was not in play last night because it was not a short week. Both teams had a full week to prepare.
Both teams had a full week.
They both played on Thanksgiving. So we start off with Boise State money line at home against Hawaii, minus 550. You got the ACC championship game, which is an ultimate layup. Clemson against Virginia. You might not want to give the 28.5 points to Clemson, but just take Clemson.
28.5 in a championship game?
Yeah. But just take Clemson on the money line at minus 6,000. It's a steep price, but we're going to have more games to make the numbers work.
We're going
to
make it work.
You know, we already told you that Ohio State's going to pull out Wisconsin. You could take Ohio State on the money line at minus 750. And Tobin, how about this? A little Saturday night boxing. Jermell Charlo against Dennis Hogan. Jermell Charlo, minus 1,800 favorite. That's Kalbicher Saturday night. And then we got to take the parlay into Sunday, where we got the Packers and the Redskins. Packers are 12.5-point favorites. Redskins playing a little bit better. Maybe you don't want to take the spread, but just take the Packers at home on the money line to win against Dwayne Haskins at minus 800. And then to complete the parlay, to get the numbers right, you got the Houston Texans against the Denver Broncos. The Texans are at home as 9.5-point favorites, but all that has to happen to finish this off is the Texans to win outright at a minus 460 favorite. Only put the six teams together, minus 103. It's only six teams, a six-game quickie.
Oh, my God.
It's not your 9, 10, 11 teams. Just six games. A quickie.
You're amazing, man. Oh, man. If you guys want to go see Five Finger Death Punch right now, call number 3 to our line at 786-360-0790. Five Finger Death Punch. They're coming to the BB&T Center next spring. Tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m. LiveNation.com. But if you want to win your way in, we'll give a pair of tickets away right now to call number 3-786-360-0790. Now, I don't think anything has shaken us more today than Bill Belichick's son.
Oh,
it has horrified us, delighted us, and petrified us. If you missed it, we'll bring you how the Patriots are going to dominate the AFCs for another 30 years with what Belichick has created. Next. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 790 The Ticket. It is a Football Friday brought to you by Yingling. A beer as bold as those who drink it. Tapenade in our Eagle. Yingling, spread your wings. Please drink responsibly. I want to let you guys know, if you want to watch some football with me on Sunday, we'll be at Bryson's in Miami Springs for a Yingling watch party. Watch our boy Adam Gase go down in flames. Flames, baby. Woo! Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be delightful. I cannot wait. But we're also going to be giving away a 55-inch 4K Ultra HD TV. And there's going to be Yingling specials walking around. The Yingling ladies usually walk around with the some samples, so it's a nice way to not only get specials on beer, but every now and then you get a freebie sent your way as well. So those are always fun, Rob.
Oh yeah,
it's always nice to get a little sample for you. But yeah, man, like, and it's super easy when you want to win the TV. It's just raffle ticket. Like, you don't even have to go with like registering the name and whatnot. You take a ticket. It's as easy as it gets. So if you're looking to win yourself a new television or just drink some excellent beer, Bryson's. It is at 3790 Curtis Parkway, Miami Springs. It's going to be there this Sunday, 1 o'clock. I'll be there watching some football, watching Adam Gase lose yet again. And I hope Manish Mehta gets him. Okay, Adam. Question: does losing to the Dolphins twice justify Stephen Ross's decision to fire you? And then maybe he'll answer instead of just walking up and like, I'm not going to comment on that off the podium. It's just so gross.
This point
validates I'm not going to answer that. It's ridiculous.
Thanks, everyone.
But is it ridiculous? Is it? That's the question. Is it really a ridiculous thing to ask about whether or not that validates the decision to fire? Because I say yay. I say yay, it does. But that's just me.
And then, you know, Gase, you know, winning 3 in a row, maybe feeling himself, maybe a little bit sans pants, and then lose to the Bengals.
Oh, my God.
Gives them their first win of the season.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's so great. So we'll do a little bit of 15 minutes of heat here, which is brought to you by BrandsMart. Buying the BrandsMart way for the holiday season means the lowest prices and the largest selections of TVs, appliances, mattresses, cell phones, and more. Visit your local BrandsMart USA store today. It's also brought to you by Comcast. Get the speed, coverage, and control you need with Xfinity XFi. The Miami Heat are back in action tonight. They are taking on the Washington Wizards. TCB game, Robbie. Looking to stay unbeaten at home.
And in TCB games.
We know that the Heat, they are undefeated in TCB, and they also have not yet taken a TL on the season. These are our analytics. A lot of people like to go around there with the fancy stuff. True shooting percentage, effective shooting percentage,
net rating. Usage rate.
Yeah, no. We work here on TLs, TCBs, all right? True losses and take care of business games. And that's what tonight is. You take on the Washington Wizards. First of all, you got to do a couple of things. First of all, you got to show Bradley Beal a little something, all right? He made his choice. He decided that he wanted to stay with the Wizards where I get a little bit more power. Okay, look, hey, power's nice. Power's nice, Bradley Beal. You get to have your power and eat it too. That's fine. But you give him that little lesson tonight, Jimmy Butler, show him what's what. Say, oh, you wanted to sign that extension? I mean, good. Get your money. Get your money. That's no one's against somebody going and getting paid. You know, and Bradley Beal, he fills it up. He is an offensive wizard, really, for lack of a better term. He is absolutely outstanding when it comes to filling it up. But you're going to get show a little something tonight. Just a little sneak peek. Just to show him. This could have been you. So when we're watching around tonight and you're seeing the young Bucks just light it up from downtown, and you're just like, that looks pretty nice to play with. It does look pretty nice to play with, doesn't it, Bradley? Doesn't it? But you made your choice. I hope you enjoy Washington. I hope you enjoy freezing your ass off in the middle of the year. Could have been here. Could have been you. Oh, what? Yeah. Could have been you. But unfortunately,
hey,
he made his choice. No regrets.
Yeah, no regrets.
No regrets from the Heat standpoint. But he's regretting it every night, sobbing himself to sleep. You don't think he watches those Jimmy Butler highlights? He's just like, What are you showing me your phone for? Was that mean empanadas are here?
That was like an Art Basil alert.
Yeah, I didn't know. He just shows me the phone. I'm like, I assume that means that empanadas are here.
But I have to go now. I was like, go. And you know why?
No.
Now I'm really curious to know why.
Oh, because of Art Basil.
Oh, yeah.
Art Basil has taken over, and he's not able to get to the parking lot because they've hijacked our entire building.
Oh, yeah, and you don't want somebody scooping up the empanadas and turning that into art.
No, 100%. And then what if somebody gets rich off of your empanadas?
Oh, my God.
Does that mean Leroy gets stake in ownership? Maybe that's the way he should go. Just give away one empanada to an artist. They turn that into a six-figure art piece, and then Leroy gets a cut.
Dude.
I think it's the way to go. It's probably worth it at that point.
There's more than one empanada in that box. There's like a good 10 or 12 in there. Bam.
It was funny. Did you see this piece in Sports Illustrated, Robbie? There's a piece on basically how Eric Spoelstra has turned the Heat back into a contender. Really good piece in Sports Illustrated. But he was talking about how he was after the first time the Heat didn't make the playoffs. So this would have been the summer of 2015. So it's the year after they lost LeBron, Chris Bosh gets sick, they get to the summer of 2015, remember they had that stupid Chris Middleton 3 that kept him out of the playoffs, ended up being in the lottery for the first time in forever, Justice Winslow got drafted that summer, but he said, quote, I went to a dark place, I set a course to be a different kind of coach, one that fits my identity and purpose a little bit more, I had to apologize to a few players along the way, I wasn't the coach I wanted to be, and more importantly, I wasn't the coach they needed me to be. That's deep. Spoelstra-philosophy.
And by the way, that Middleton shot, without that Middleton shot, they wouldn't have had Justice Winslow.
Right.
Because they only had to pick if it was on the top 10, and they were at 10.
Correct.
Had they won more, they would have been outside the top 10.
He sent Zoe there. Zoe gave the little fist bump. Yeah, got him.
I remember we were all freaking out, even though there was like a very low percentage chance of moving out of the top 10 and losing the pick. We were all in pandemonium.
Very nervous. Yeah, it was very nervous, but it was. I can understand why, because I mean, you think about the time that you're going to recalibrate as a coach, because first of all, you finally have a year where you're not the most scrutinized guy in the league. I mean, everybody was looking for Eric Spoelstra to basically get fired until he won a championship and won it with the Big Three. Now, somehow everybody turns that into now, oh, LeBron won those championships and Eric Spoelstra gets no credit for it. But mind you, I mean, it went to the point where people just wanted him fired because he wasn't Pat Riley for the longest time. So it is a different type of outlook where he has all these types of things. I think in some ways we've seen Spo kind of recalibrate again this year because, you know, we saw Riley talk about, you know, the tightening of the screws of culture and all that stuff. And in some ways I think Eric Spoelstra's tightening the screws on I'm not going to cater to guys just based on the fact that they make a ton of money on this team, which is kind of how it's been going. Like, they had Hassan Whiteside here, and they just had to play him because you pay him $27 million. You just got to figure it out. Now that he's gone, and you've dealt with that headache already, dealing with Deion Waiters and James Johnson with what they've been going through, it's just not as big a deal. First of all, it's not as hard to fit them into the game. I mean, if in some scenario you were to put James Johnson out there or you were to put Deion Waiters out there, it's not like you're having to spoon feed him like Hassan Whiteside, who, by the way, did you see that the Blazers put a career high alert for Hassan Whiteside for a whopping 5 assists the other night?
Whoa.
Yep. Yep. Game changer. Listen, that's why he has shooters. That's why he was so excited. He was so excited. He was just waiting all this time to get those 5 assists.
All right, he's going to be Greek Freak now.
Finally. Yeah. This is where it all comes. This is where it all comes together for Hassan. But I think in some ways, with Riley talking about them having to tighten down on culture, and then in the same way, Spo just having to recalibrate on, you know what, we gotta just get back to making this the basketball team that he's always wanted to be. And I think a lot of that has had to do with having Bam out there, of course, having Jimmy Butler and having a superstar and having a guy who's as great as he is, and especially a guy who could take care of late. But one of the things that's interesting is the fact that, you know, he puts so much work into, as soon as these guys are signed, how he can use them, different ways he can use them, and how he can unlock a lot of stuff. And I think that's the thing with this roster, is you have a lot of guys on this team, really outside of the young guys. And I don't even really want to put Tyler here in that category, because we've seen Tyler do a bunch of different things, but mostly those young guys, they're basically put out there to go shoot and score. But I'd say your three main cogs in Jimmy, Bam, and Justice, they're not only your best three defensive players, but they're probably your best three facilitators as well. And so they really are, you know, with how dynamic they are defensively and swallowing guys up, if you're able to cause the ball to get turned over or get it going, they can initiate offense basically right away. And I think Spo just loves that kind of versatility that this kind of roster is bringing. But it was interesting to see that, going to the dark place. Is that the year that he went and talked to Dan Quinn? It felt like that was a step down from talking to what's his face, Pete Carroll.
Oh yeah. We went to
Oregon. Understanding the Seattle connection. But it was interesting to me.
And it kind of feels like this. Remember when LeBron, after the 2011 finals, when LeBron like went into hibernation for like 3 weeks, he wouldn't want to talk to anybody
right
for 3 weeks, had to recalibrate, and then the next year, you know, next couple years, they won the title. But that's what it felt like. Spo did, like, took a page out of LeBron's book and just went away for like 3 weeks.
You think listen, McBob. I know you were terrible this year for us. Why don't you give me some of those? Mushrooms so I can go on a spirit quest, find myself a little bit. Because one thing I'd like to do is find myself away from you. You're terrible.
You know what? Now it makes all sense. That's how Dion probably got one of his gummies. He probably, you know, found him left by McBob from back in 2015. He's like, oh, this gummy. Let me try this, and then bam.
He's like, wait, Spo, I thought you told me about retreats and finding yourself and all that. He goes, that's not what I meant, dummy. No gummies, dummy. It's funny though. But I think this is closest to the roster he's probably wanted. I mean, outside of having Dwayne Wade, who's obviously amazing, you know, I think this is probably as close to a roster that is his style mostly since the Big Three, because of not having to force feed Hassan Whiteside. Not only just in ego, but in playing style.
And really, the headaches is really just, I mean, Dion's really the only headache. I mean, now James Johnson's not playing, but...
Oh, no, James Johnson's a sweetheart.
He's a salary albatross. He might be a salary albatross, but he's not a headache.
Yeah, no. He'll head kick you in the face because he's got a martial arts background, but he's a good dude.
Well, the problem is that Hassan never fit anything you did with the Big Three. And Spo, more than anybody, had gotten away from a big man with his foot in the paint. And so it's pretty weird that they would give a max contract to a guy that is the direct opposite of the way you've played football basketball for the last 4 years.
It's weird from the standpoint of the coach, but really not that weird when you think about the president.
Okay, but that basketball was gone. What are you going back to? There's nobody playing basketball like that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.